Hi and welcome to CDI's Restorative Practices podcast, Circles of Connection, where we get right into the heart of the community and talk all things RP. These past few months we've been busy collecting stories from right across the country about the impact of RP on people's work and life. We talked to social and community workers, youth workers, SNAs, teachers, students and more to gather their testimonies and stories. Each episode is focusing on a different setting. If you're not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative questions and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of our podcast series where it's all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danew, a restorative practices trainer for CDI, delighted to be gathering these stories. For this episode and the previous one, I went to Fir House Educate Together Secondary School in Dublin, and I met with Claire Matthews, principal, Andrew Maloney, deputy principal, Carol Flynn, secretary, Ashling O'Neill, student support assistant, Charlene Nolan, a first-year student's mother, and three second-year students, Maïssa Labidi, Millie McCarthy, and Amy Roach. In our last episode, we heard how the restorative culture in the school was created and what practices helped to maintain it. In this episode, we will try to capture the nature of the relationships between the school community members and how everyone is supported to be their best self. The first value of the school is relationship. And as you have heard in the last episode, that's really where the focus is. Some students have a specific role. They are relationship keepers. And Maïssa, Millie, Amy, and then Claire explain what it is about.
We have a team called the Relationship Keepers, which includes us and a couple of students which couldn't make it here today, fortunately. But basically, we go to we've gone to different places and done training with people such as Michelle, who is part of restorative practice, and she helped us learn about what it is really. And then we got to the primary school and we did the circles with them and then kind of told them what we do.
We had to learn how to host a circle, like a restorative circle, and like how to go about, like, not to ask too personal questions and not to just ask like open-ended questions that could go on for a while, just to be a bit direct but like not insensitive about, okay, we have to move on. Like, we had to just learn how to like pose questions in a certain way, and like if ever we had to take over our check and connect time. We try to break down the barriers, because a lot of the time first years might be like terrified of the years ahead of them, so we try to not like intimidate them, try to tell them that we're like the same age as them pretty much, so they don't have to fear us. So we try to make the relationship between the years just a bit more like good.
We keep like I think at Christmas time we delivered teachers bunches of flowers just to say thank you, which, and we wrote like little letters to them just saying thank you for the term. And then we also just like just keep the relationships in school. Like if we saw someone like being mean to someone, we could go over and be like, oh, it's not like you shouldn't do that. It's a bit like prefects in a traditional school, but like, I don't know, it's more, it's different. It's like keeping the relationships, not just giving out. Like people know we're relationship keepers, but people wouldn't necessarily come up to us yet because the school's so small. But when the school gets bigger, I'm sure like as the relationship keeper team grows, more people will come up to us asking to like help them instead of going up to teachers.
These students, like that, we just had a year and we had, you know, they had done a restorative practice course as part of their ethical education curriculum. We did it as part of that. We learned a lot from doing it. It was one actually designed by Michelle, actually, which was wonderful. And I gave a hand. I was in there as well with the teachers. And so we did it. I think it was a 6-week module at the time in first year. And then at the end of that module, then we asked them, did they want to become relationship keepers, which would basically be a role that would grow as the school grows, where they would have ownership over sharing the ethos of the school and helping other students with issues. But first and foremost, to be there proactively building relationships for them to realize, actually, well, first and foremost, that's what we do here as a restorative school. We build relationships. We try and minimize the potential for conflict, or and then we respond to it with a particular set of practices so that they can be involved as they grow and develop as young people throughout the school. Like that, build relationships first, and then help other students then with tricky situations. So they had to make an application. They had to write a statement as to why they wanted to be involved. They were invited to interview. I invited another teacher who was actually doing some leadership research, and he wanted to come into the school. And I said, well, why don't you come in this particular day and you can sit on a panel with me and the wellbeing coordinator, Deirdre, and conduct interviews with the students as to why they should be selected for the role of relationship keeper. So he really enjoyed it, actually, I suppose, as a visitor to the school, because it gave him an insight into the students' thinking. And they had well prepared, and some of them had little PowerPoints with them, and yeah, talked through everything. And they've so they've done things like we had Love Bomb Week, where they, you know, put hearts up all over the school, and you know, gave little chocolates in for circle time, and you know, did some sparkles as well, you know, where they gave compliments to people. And but it's not to say that it's any one week, you know, but just obviously it was Valentine's week, so we just kind of went all out. What else have they done? Oh, they've presented at parents' evenings, which is amazing to see. I mean, we had the incoming first years coming in. A parents' evening for the incoming first years back in last autumn. So these students like that, 13, 14 years of age, presenting to a full room of parents who were considering sending their students to our school. And they explained what restorative practice is and what our approach to relationships looks like. And they were delighted with themselves, actually. They were very proud of themselves, actually, when they'd done that. So they're basically ambassadors for the school culture, really. And they do practical things all day, every day like that. They ran circles as well with the national school kids, and they've done some training with Michelle too.
Building relationships is the core experience in the school. How does it look like? How do the members of the school community I interviewed are describing their relationships? Let's hear from our three students, from Charlene about our son Rory, and from the staff members.
The teachers never stated us. They just, like, if they talk to us rationally and like treat us on the same level as they are, like, they treat us with respect.
I've been to a primary school which we call teachers by our first names, and a primary school that we call teachers by their last names. So I kind of got the two different sides of it. And I personally prefer calling teachers by the first names. It feels less like, I don't know, it feels not less formal, but more like more equal, I guess, than just there are teachers. They're also like meant to teach. They're there to teach us, but they're also meant to guide us through things and be able to help us and teach us things.
His relationships to the teachers and the kids here, it took a while, you know, not terribly long, like, but a couple of months. Like, it did take a couple of months for Rory to realize, oh, okay, it is different. Yeah, no, I'm not going to be given out or blamed or... And I think probably not just for Rory during those couple of months, but all the kids, maybe if they hadn't come from experience of restorative practice before, any behaviour that was deemed not suitable or not in line with the way their previous school wanted it done, and they were testing boundaries probably too, to figure out how am I going to be dealt with in this school? How is it going to work? So all of that kind of at the start was probably similar for all the kids, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what they can get away with maybe sometimes, or what how they're going to be, you know, received for, you know, certain behaviours. But Rory's relationships with the staff here has gone increasingly better over the year, like just a lot more trust. You know, like Rory wouldn't come home from school and blame a teacher for him not understanding something anymore, where he might have done previously, because the teacher is not going to go, why don't you understand it? They're going to go, well, let's figure this out together, you know. And for that, I think he was able to to able to trust him. He was. It's kind of like he's more on their level. The thing with Rory is he doesn't really see adults as adults. Adults are just other people that he has to deal with. So for Rory, having that idea in his head that, no, I'm the same as you with adult, that did not go down well in primary school. No, it was, we are in charge of you and we say what goes on. And it's not like that here. You know, it's about mutual respect. And yes, of course, we know that they're still young children, adults. They're not fully fledged adults, but they're dealt with as young adults, not as children. Do you know what I mean? And that's a big bonus for Rory. He loves that. He loves his, like, people considering his opinion and taking it on board and listening to him. And yeah. So that's what I would say about the relationship with the teachers. I mean, they've just been fantastic with him. Fantastic.
Well, I suppose as a student support assistant, you're with the student from the start of the day to the end of the day. You follow them class to class. And initially, you know, you're both new to each other. But definitely I found over the year, the connection that you make with that student, because there's no sort of barriers there. You know, the relationship that you build is phenomenal. They trust you 110%. You know, there is respect there and they know the expectations. And obviously, if that respect is lost, rather than it being held in a punitive way, you know, the discussion takes place. The understanding is there. You know, we had a student last year who in his old school was constantly getting into trouble. And whenever it was mentioned to him to leave the class, he would just ball up. And it was through talking to him, we realised that he connected that with, I'm going to get into trouble. So as soon as he realised, no, that's not a trigger for you getting into trouble. We just want to you to have some time out and to talk to us so we can get to the bottom of why you're feeling this way. He was completely different. So I don't think you would get that many places. You know, the relationships, not only with the students, but the staff. I mean, all of us are very, very close. We all are on the same page. And it shows, you know, because we're strong and we've gone through a lot of challenges. I'm not going to lie. But through supporting each other, we've come a long way. And it shows with the students and how much progress they've made over the year. I think there's the trust is there. They know that you're, not to say you're on their side, but you're not against them. So they would talk to you a lot about things that they probably wouldn't talk to other teachers or SNAs in other schools, because there's those respect values there. They know that you're there to help them, and vice versa. So for example, you know, one of the students really confided in me, and it was, you know, a really powerful conversation that we had. But she actually said to me, you know, I haven't told many people this part of my life, but I'm trusting you because I know I can.
I think the students gain confidence from the fact that they have a voice, and they know that they have a voice. So they know, they don't feel that they are not being heard, and they don't feel that they can't say how they feel about, you know, they know they can discuss things, or if they're worried about something, there's always someone to listen to them. And I think that for a teenager, that's amazing reassurance, and that helps their confidence, their self-esteem, their ability to communicate, which will help with relationships with their friends, with their family. I think it's a very positive start if they can communicate so well and be comfortable talking about how they're feeling.
I think it's, we're a community and we are all in that community, and we all know that, you know, we're there together, that we're doing this together. And I think when the kids realize, you know, okay, I'm not just going to be shouted at and given out to if I do something wrong, they know that we have their back, that we're there to support them, that we're, like Carol was saying, you know, get underneath it. You know, did something happen the day before or overnight when they weren't here? You're really letting them know, like, I'm here to support you. I'm not here to judge you.
They come in without much experience of it. So in a lot of cases, the students, while I've no doubt that they had amazing teachers and were supported very well educationally, they still see us as, oh, it's the teacher. And particularly in the early stages of first year, we see this kind of, the team are very calm. There's no drama from them. So the team are never going to start going down into a deep argument with the student right there in the middle of the class, like is your traditional, I'm a teacher in a movie, here I go, I'm going to start a fight and I'm going to win. The team don't bring that. And in the first few months of first year, some of our students find that very difficult because they can't understand why the team aren't shouting at them, why the team aren't getting annoyed or angry. Because they're bringing this with them, that this is how a teacher should be to me. And that takes a few months. But that I can think of various students who have finished their first year with us now, who may at the beginning have had that distrust and it was uncomfortable for them that they were going, but I can't have an argument with the teacher here because they're not bringing the argument or the drama with them. But that by the end of first year, the relationships are strong between the team members and those students who might have found it difficult at the beginning. So for me, if I'm looking at it going, where is the proof that relationships, by putting that first, as Claire was saying, by really putting that out there as a, we're going to focus on this first and foremost. Well, the proof is there that our students feel supported at the end of first year, who might not necessarily have felt that same level of support initially just by their distrust of what a teacher should be. So yeah, that's been very powerful for me to watch and see.
Andrew and I stand at the door in the morning to welcome them in and have chats with them. And we invest, I suppose, in our relationships with the students. And, you know, no matter what happens every morning, my first thing is to smile at a student and say, it's great to see you. And Andrew's the same, you know, and then we talk about, OK, maybe they're late or maybe they're, you know, but how we receive them every day is always always to smile and always to welcome them. And I mean, like, you know, it's funny, you know, one student said to me, I'm in the principal's office. I said, you are, you know, how's that working for you? She was like, we're just here for a chat. And I said, yeah, exactly. That's how it should be, isn't it? So, you know, we don't do hierarchy. We don't do like, you know, I think, yeah, I think of Dorothy Vandering as well and all the research that she's done. And, you know, and I think of, you know, just ultimately seeing the inherent worthiness in the other person and seeing yourself in the other and that kind of thinking. And for there to be no... Yeah, for it to be working with people and not to be wielding power around the place like a lunatic.
From the students and staff's point of view, the atmosphere in the school is very good. Millie, Maïssa and Carol tell us more about it.
I don't know. Could atmosphere be just like good? Like in some schools, like you could just walk in and you could tell that like you wouldn't feel so safe there. But here you walk in every day and you feel really safe because you know you can trust everyone.
I think everyone in our school can express themselves the way they want and not feel judged at all. I think you could show up wearing, I don't know, pajamas and people wouldn't judge. It's more, we're very community based basically. Everyone's kind of linked together and we're all, it's a strong bond between everyone.
Really happy. Like if you see the students at the break time, they're just so happy. Yeah. You know, they're really genuinely happy coming to school. And the parents would say that. As one parent said to me last year, she said, I don't care if you're in a shed as long as my child is in the school because he has never been happier. For parents who don't know the school, they haven't been involved in restorative practice or the ethos of the school, and their biggest concern is, well, what about the accommodation and when are you going to have permanent accommodation, when are you going to have premises, and they actually are so then delighted when they see the actual results of the fact that all any parent wants, as we know, is just for their children to be happy. And that's what the children are, genuinely happy coming to school.
As you know, the school motto is be your best self. And Andrew reminds that the restorative model is a high accountability model and that after restorative circles has happened, there is a follow-up on the amounts that have been discussed and decided during the process.
Our teachers have high expectations of the students And, you know, what we're really beginning to pin down now at this point in the school is, okay, that a lot of the time we have that it's enough for the teacher to have a really deep conversation with the student about how they're getting on. Because it's in terms of relationships, the belief is that if you want to work, you know, if you have a good working relationship with that person, then ultimately over a 3-year cycle, that relationship is going to work out very well if there's an understanding of support and trust. But when it goes beyond, if it's a bigger picture than that, it's seen as, oh, well, because you've no detention, they must be getting away with it. To be honest with you, detention, if we were honest as practitioners in education, it is letting them get away with it because, okay, they're in there for an hour, they have to do a maths, few questions, but the problem is never really fleshed out. To see students talk about their experiences here and to see them guided through that process is an awful lot stronger than a detention. And that's not to say, look, that I'm giving out about detentions nationally. But for us as a community, we want to be able to, that our students can always say, regardless of how, you know, the outcome, that they were always fairly respected and always fairly treated. It's important as a teacher that we don't get, that as teachers, we don't get lost in the, oh, it's good enough that I had the conversation and that I don't bring up the amends. Because from a student's perspective, it takes an awful lot for a student to contribute to an amends. And as a teacher, if I'm just forgetting about the amends and moving on, I'm not taking the time to actually revisit that with a student, and therefore I'm not supporting the student. So where we're going into year three now, I think it's really exciting because we have a team of people who not only understand how restorative practice works in kind of the questions and the circles, but the power of the amends and how that's actually key to building up the trust with the students, because they then see you as someone who's going to support them, who's going to help them along their journey. Not as, you know, it kind of reminds me of the teacher who doesn't really check over homework that often. What does it show about their level of commitment to the learning? And I think the amends is a similar thing. It doesn't have to be a draconian that you're going to be checking it all day, every day, but it's very worthwhile to support that student that you are going to revisit it with them, because that's the real ultimate sign of a healthy relationship, that it's moving onwards with it and that you're able to move on from it.
One way of exploring the impact of the motto was to ask people if their restorative experience in the school had changed them and if they could see a learning path.
Well, since I learned about restorative practice 2 years ago, I think and react to conflict in a very different way. Like, I wouldn't just, like, if my sister annoyed me or something, I wouldn't just scream at her straight away now. I'd be like, oh, sister, can you stop being so annoying? Or like in a nicer way, I just can't think of a nicer way to put it.
Since restorative practice has been implanted into my life, I think it has grown into my morals and like the way I just live life. It's helped me create stronger and better relationships between my friends and family. I just think about it more. Before, I had no idea what it was, but I definitely think it's, for anyone who does try, it will help them for the better, and it should be definitely done through every single school, in my opinion. It's just a great way to make stronger bonds between people.
I think my communication is probably better. I definitely think I probably don't. I approach things more directly and say what I have to say, and say it in a way now that would probably not be as confrontational, I think. That's probably, yeah. I think I probably do approach things slightly differently. I never thought of it like that until you're saying it, but probably I think the impact of it, being in here so much and it being by osmosis, I suppose, that you're nearly, it's just becoming part of the way I talk to people is probably, just to go back to that positivity, it's the positive. I'm really conscious of using positive language and being a positive. I've always been a positive person, but more positive, I think, definitely, from being here.
It's definitely opened those kind of communication channels with my two children, in terms of they do come and they would talk a lot more to me, whereas before I think they thought, well, what's the point? She won't understand. And you kind of do it, you know, as Cara was saying, like osmosis, it's subconscious now. It's just, you know, with friends as well, I wouldn't have been as assertive, but now without being confrontational, I will just say, well, no. Or, you know, and they know that I've changed, I think, in the last year as well, that it's not something that is easy to me to be assertive, but I've definitely learned the tools to be more clear.
I'm a lot calmer, just about how I see the world, how I see me in the world, an awful lot calmer. That the real learning for me in it has been at home, in with my relationships with friends, with my family, has been the whole idea of being reactive versus responsive, and to respond to people rather than reacting. So definitely it's made me an awful lot calmer. It's allowed me to be very comfortable with myself, with my mistakes, and sharing that. So one thing as deputy, I think I've been very good with is actually holding my hands up with if I've made a mistake with team members and going, I've made a mistake. Yeah. And there's a little bit of shock sometimes, especially amongst newer team members, that I'm kind of admitting this, but that it's allowed me to become very comfortable with it's okay not to be perfect. And that did not come easy. As I was saying to Claire earlier on, I cried after one of my exams for my leaving cert because I didn't think it went as well as I thought, because my idea of perfection was, it was exactly that, everything going right. Whereas what RP has allowed me is to be, that I have to be restorative with myself first and foremost. Otherwise, you're going to burn out very, very fast. And that's, if that it's not the only thing that I'm taking away from this, but if that were the only thing that I took away from my time here so far, that's worth it in itself. How to be restorative with yourself, because if you can regulate that, that shows to the outside world. But you might think you're being restorative with others, but until you can actually internalize that and become comfortable with your own ideas of vulnerability and sharing mistakes and shame, it's not sustainable. So yeah, it's definitely, it's a philosophy, and it's something you have to, it's values based, and it's something that you have to live.
Lastly, Carol shares the changes she observed on children through the year, and Charlene talks about the impact his experience in the school had on her son, Rory.
And I can really see it, being here since the beginning, I can really see it in the second years, particularly. I can really see the difference in the year, the confidence that they have, I suppose it goes back to my very passionate theory on restorative practice being very like Montessori, that it's the self-esteem and confidence that is the core of children, teenagers, and then adults. And if that can be built on at a very early age, then they, yes, they'll come up against challenges, everyone does, but they'll have the tools to be able to deal with those challenges as they get older.
There's like a knowing that whoever is having the worst time will be given the most support. It's different from equality. It's another word I'm trying to think of. Equity. Like, there are other kids in the school with conditions similar to Rory's, and they present differently or what have you. And Rory learning that, that particular kid over there has a tougher time in that area than I do, so they need more help. And he accepts that, because that's the way, because when he needs the help in a certain area, he's given it. It's not that they're given preferential treatment, it's just who needs help is given the help. Rory has learned to stop blaming and judging. That's kind of it in a nutshell. Like, there was a couple of the young people at the start of the year, and Rory would come home and say things about them, like, oh, he's so annoying, like, he does this and he does that, and like, oh, and like, just giving out, like, and I'm like, well, would you like it if people talked to you about you that way, and da 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 da, and but like, just gradually, like, I remember there, like, not long before the lockdown kind of thing happened, I noticed that his attitude towards those particular kids he would have given out about at the start of the year was totally different. He'd come in and say, oh, such and such said something really funny today. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Did you not tell me that you used to find them that they were a bit annoying or stuff like that? And he was like, yeah, they were. But you know what? Everyone's a bit annoying sometimes. And his attitude towards people that might have had differences too, because he'd received it so much, yeah, has definitely improved. I could talk for Ireland about the change that this has made in my son's life, to be honest. Really and truly. It's just been phenomenal. And I could get emotional about it because it's been huge. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you very much to everybody involved in these episodes.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to rate and to subscribe to the show. And thank you to the production team at the podcast studios and to all who took part on the project. Find out more at cdi.ie.